Well, good morning. Okay, I'm going to do something. I don't always think it's fair that they get to do it and I don't. Jim does it, Shane does it, Jake does it, so I'm going to do it. Well, up on the screen, You know, those of you that know me, you knew that we have four daughters, and then we got one granddaughter who is taller than all the rest of them. And now we're getting a grandson. And so that on the left is Emily, our third born, who will be the mother of this one. When the other girls saw the picture, they go, "Oh, find the picture of Emily." So they put them side by side. But so Mark and Lori Schaefer and Melinda and I will be sharing a grandson come Valentine's Day or somewhere right about there. So we are, that's good. Yeah. But they're about to find out a baby changes everything. Many of you in here are already aware of that. You've been that. You've been the baby who changed everything. Sometimes, and most of the time for good, then there's times where, Barry and Judy Lynch, about a little over 18 years ago, about 18 and a half years ago, had a little baby boy. His name was Thomas. Now, some of you might be saying that, will go, "Oh, I know who that is." Others of you may not, until you see, "Oh, that's Mindy Briggs up there." Thomas is Mindy's grandson. She would bring him to Vacation Bible School, pushing that wheelchair around and just interacting with the kids that were his age, and trying to put him around, keep as many things as similar as possible and normal as possible that you can with a special needs child. If a healthy baby changes your world a lot, imagine what a special needs baby would. It has definitely changed their world. And Barry, Judy, Mindy, Doug, all of them would tell you that it's changing for the better. In fact, they then started a triathlon to raise money for Children's Miracle Network. And I can't remember the exact number or how much money, but it's somewhere between 1 and 2 million, I think, raised for kids in the panhandle going through similar things. He was born with a rare genetic disorder that made him have seizures constantly, cognitively impaired, can't walk, can't talk, was supposed to not live past the age of 2. And now he is 18 years old. And you wonder, how much do they absorb? How much do they learn? How much do they know in this? Well, let's just watch part of a video as Mindy is sharing a scripture verse with him, teaching him.
"That you may declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And you know what that saying is? God chose you. God loves you. And he showed us that because he gave us Jesus, who loves you even more. Good job, buddy. He couldn't have smiled better.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a child like that to remind us how much God loves us, no matter their circumstances. You know, babies do change our world. We've got a few that just were born last weekend. Nate and Sydney Newsom just had one. Mikey and Liz Hernandez had one. Jake just mentioned the situation, but Maddie's younger sister had one, and they had to life flight her to Dallas to have the baby because there was complications already, a few surgeries, but they're doing better. Babies change your world. Got a few people sitting out here getting ready to give birth shortly. No. They will change your world. And just like in our story in the book of Ruth, that we've been kind of working our way through, and now we're going to finally end. We're going to end in how a baby has changed their lives. So If you got your Bibles, Ruth chapter 4, let me sum it up real quick. Like, Ruth was a Moabite woman. There was a famine in the land, and a lady by the name of Naomi and her husband Elimelech takes their two boys. They go to Moab. The two boys find a couple of girls, one named Ruth, one named Orpah. They marry them. The boys, Elimelech and the boys, die while they're there in Moab. Naomi is going to head back home towards Bethlehem. Ruth decides to go with her. Orpah stays home. Ruth goes with her. They come back, greeted by all the people and going, "Oh, it's great to have you back." And then we find that Ruth meets up with this man by the name of Boaz, who is a relative of Naomi's. And he would be the kinsman redeemer who she would marry, who would help take care of the widows and the family. And so chapter and part of 4 tell that story. We pick up in verse 13 to the end of the chapter. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who's not left you without a redeemer today. May his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than 7 sons has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram Amminadab. To Amminadab was born Nashon, and to Nashon Salmon. To Salmon Boaz, to Boaz Obed, and to Obed Jesse, and to Jesse David. Last week, Jim talked about the proceedings, sort of the courtship and engagement of Boaz and Ruth, and something involved taking off a shoe and doing some ritual that they would have to do. Well, in verse 13, we will have a year's worth of time take place. We will have the wedding, the honeymoon, and the birth of a child all take place. And so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. There's the wedding. And he went into her. The Lord enabled her to conceive. Here's the honeymoon. And she gave birth to a son. All of that in one verse. They lay everything out before, and then we get this in one verse. Not much more about the wedding, no fancy rituals or anything. And then it's going to talk about this baby and the blessings that the baby gives. Interesting note is the title of the book is Ruth, and this seems to kind of be Ruth's story a little bit, but it's also Naomi's story. And you would think that Ruth and Boaz had the baby. Like we do with baby showers, we talk about the parents, and in this, the blessings are going to go to Naomi. There's probably a reason why. But in this story, before we get to the blessings of the child, one of the things we find is the whole big connection between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth got her name in the genealogy. Ruth's got her name on the book, but much of the blessing and much of the story in the book of Ruth is also about her mother-in-law, Naomi, and it describes their relationship that they have. These women, her neighbors that come around, will talk about Ruth being the daughter-in-law who's better to her than 10 sons, who gave birth to this son that she will have. It all started when Ruth, instead of staying back in Moab, she says, "No, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die." That commitment and loyalty that she had to her mother-in-law. Now, there are a lot of mother-in-law jokes out there. Lots of them. How many of you have said mother-in-law jokes? Come on. Okay, good. Truthfulness helps. Yeah. I can't say if I have or haven't because I can't remember, but I can say this, that any of them that would make fun of mother-in-law, I cannot say truthfully straight, because I had a good mother-in-law, like many of you might have. But I also had a front seat to watch my mother with my wife. They had a tremendous relationship, Melinda and my mom. It was kind of neat to see how that played out. Melinda was not just a daughter-in-law, she was a daughter. My mom had a way of making the in-laws feel like they were just part of the kids, but also watched how Melinda would... But I watched how she would take care of my mom, as did my sisters. Yeah. Not everybody can say that. I've done enough funerals and I've been around enough families to know that in-laws don't always mix very well. If we had an argument, mom always took her side. Even when I was right, which was probably most of the time, but no, there was... Hey, this is not an interactive sermon. But Ruth and Naomi had something special. And in this particular story, we see the blessings that the child will have for Ruth and the grandchild will have to Naomi. Now, I imagine Naomi sitting there with a child on her lap, this little boy, and her whole outlook has changed. If you remember, when she came back to Bethlehem and everybody was rejoicing that she was back, no longer call me Naomi, which means pleasant. She said, call me Mara, which means bitter. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. She lost her husband. She lost her two boys. Some of you understand that. Some of you get that. You understand that grief. And here's Naomi, fast forward a few years, and she's got a grandson on her lap. And I'm imagining that the skies aren't quite as dark as they once were, that there's more of a smile on her face, and she's glad to hear her name Naomi again. And the ladies come around and, excuse me, and then they said, a son has been born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed. Now, Obed means one who serves, and in their blessings that they just gave earlier, will describe how, as a son, he will serve the family. And I don't know if it was me, and maybe this is me looking back from 21st century eyes, but if Ruth had given birth to a girl, it probably would have been named Baby Ruth. But since it was a boy, it should have been Babe Ruth, don't you think? Yeah. Just had to get that in there somewhere. Yeah. But grandparents, you understand the uniqueness of being a grandparent? It's one thing to be mom and dad, and that is special. But also being Nana and Papa. You not only have the kid to celebrate, but your kids, you celebrate with them. Many of our people here at Washington Avenue have understood the blessings of grandchildren, but in a whole different way. We've got people here that are raising their grandkids, raising their great nieces, raising their brother's child, raising others that were not their own. That child has changed their world in many ways. Many prayers and blessings go out to those who do that. as the ladies come around, they give blessings to Naomi. And they say this to Naomi: "Blessed is the Lord who's not left you without a redeemer today. Blessed is the one who has not left you without a guardian for the family, somebody to take care of you." That was one of the blessings. The kinsman redeemer, the person who would take the wife of the widow to help pass on heritage and inheritance and all of those things. Well, here's Naomi and Ruth, both widows, and along comes Boaz. And then they have a son. And now these ladies are coming and blesses the Lord who's not left you without a redeemer. He says, and may his name become famous in Israel. If it wasn't for this particular story, we wouldn't know the story of Obed. He would just be another name in the long list of genealogies. He would just be like Aminadab, who we know nothing about other than he's in the list. But we know a little bit about Obed because of the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. And so here is the blessing, and he's not famous. They said, may his name become famous. May he become known in Israel. His name is only known by that, but he never became very famous, but his grandson did. For you see, his grandson was David, King David, the great king in the line of the kings of Israel, the one that all knew. And then it says, may he be a restorer of life, or may he renew you. Can you imagine Naomi in her brokenness now feeling a little bit of restoration? Doesn't take everything, bring everything back, but now she can begin to see God doing some restoring in her own life, renewing her once again, giving light to her eyes, a smile on her face. And may he be to you a sustainer of your old age. For these widows, and especially in this kind of culture, somebody there to take care of their needs. And so as Boaz came into the family and did that, Obed would also, as he raised up, he would may be doing that. And we have no idea how long Naomi lived and how much that took place. But the blessings that these women give to to the son and grandson of Ruth and Naomi. Oh, the blessings that children and grandchildren give us. And I underlined a line under in verse 13. It says, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And then I drew an arrow down to the genealogies. Because as the Lord was working in their life, little did they know just how God was working in a bigger scale. Little did they know that the child that they were going to have was going to become the grandfather of King David. He is in the lineage of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and now he's going to be one of the grandfathers and great-grandfathers and the great-great-grandfathers of some of the ones of the great kings of Israel and Judah. We're gathered here today on a Sunday like we gather every week. And we know why we gather here. Not because of the baby that Ruth and Naomi had, the baby who changed their lives. But we do know that there was a baby who changed everything. You've been around me enough to know, Shane's kind of highlighted a little bit there, but if you've been around me enough to know, you know what my favorite holiday is. It's Christmas. Coming November 1st, I got the Christmas music full time. Yeah. And you may think, why November 1st? Well, I just get Halloween out of the way. I don't like the holiday anyway. So we just get it out of the way. We move on. But I will have to tell you, I've already been listening to my Christmas music. Maybe it's in light of, this is the sermon for this week. Here's the message. But the Christmas story needs to be mentioned and told way more than just one time a year. Amen to that and amen to that. And in this, if we were to go to Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, you would see the genealogies of Jesus. Luke gives us Mary's line. Matthew gives us Joseph's line. All of them are mentioned here, Obed and down through David. They're all mentioned in both of those. It's there at David, it splits, and Solomon goes down to, through the kingly, goes to Joseph, but the biological line goes through his son Nathan. Little did Naomi and Ruth know that their child would be one of the great-great-great-great-grandfathers of Jesus. For you see, God was at work in their lives. They might have seemed like nobody in that time, but God was working with them. And God is always working on a bigger picture than we can see. You never know what God is doing in the lives of somebody else and in your lives. But just as God was at work and the blessings that came through these ladies, I see a blessing that we see through Jesus. The Lord has blessed you, they said. He has not left you without a redeemer. God has not left us without a redeemer. He's not left us without a guardian who would take care of the family. He's not left us with somebody who would forgive our sin, who would free us and forgive us from our enslavement to both sin and the fear of death. May he be known throughout all Israel, they say, about that baby. Well, we know this baby is probably the most famous baby of all time. For you see, throughout centuries, throughout the world, the name of Jesus has been known and well known. Now, not everybody knows who Jesus is. There's a lot of the world that doesn't know who he is. A lot of people heard the name, but don't understand it. A lot of people who use the name and don't understand it. But he has definitely become not just famous in Israel, but famous worldwide over. He is known, and he knows you. He is also the restorer. He's the one who renews our lives, makes us new again, takes away the old, and makes us a new creation. A month ago, had a whole bunch of old cars out here. Old ones. Some of them were pretty old. Some were like around my time when I was born. Some were like well before I was born. And some of you used to drive some of those brand new, didn't you? Yeah. I like to get myself in trouble. But many people put long hours, much time, much money into restoring an old car to make it new again. Jesus put his life on the line to make us new again, to restore in us what was broken. He's also the sustainer. He's the one who sustains us to the very end. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, reminds them, chapter 1, verse 6, he says, The one who began a good work in you will carry it out into completion. God doesn't quit on us. He's continually working on you. And in those moments when you feel like you want to give up, he's always there beside you. May you grab his hand and may you hold on The night before he died, he promised his disciples, when I go away, I will leave a comforter. I will leave my spirit. He'll dwell with you. He'll walk with you. He'll remind you. Our God not only redeems us and knows us, but he redeems, restores, and he sustains us. I can imagine if there was a prophet at the time hanging around Naomi and could see some of this stuff down the road, if they might have said, Naomi, did you know that your baby boy would be the grandfather of a king? Did you know that, you know? Well, in the old Christmas story, there's another lady with a baby on her lap. There's a song Mark Lowry wrote. Maybe do us good to remember the lyrics. Mary, did you know? Some of you know the song. May you hear it again for the first time. Really listen to the words. That your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. That's the story of Jesus, who changed the life of Ruth and Naomi. And he's changed our lives. What about your story? I look around the room and I know that Jesus has changed most of your stories. Maybe some of you, maybe that's where you're just at, trying to figure out, do I let him or not? But here's my question. Just like babies need changing, we all need changing. So what in your world needs changed? Not does it or if it, but what does? Because we all know that there's stuff that's broken in us. Maybe some of us need to be reminded that you're known. You're known and loved by God. Oh, you may not be famous. You're not famous in Amarillo. Just a few people around know you, and you wonder if the people in your family know who you are really. But God knows you. Maybe you need some things restored. Maybe there's brokenness, broken relationships, just broken pieces and fragments. Well, God's the one who's best at restoring. Maybe somebody here is, you've been doing this a while, and maybe you're just tired. Or maybe you're like, I just don't know if I can keep it going. To you, God was reminding you that he's a sustainer. He walks with you. Grabs your hand, and he carries you when you need it. I don't know where you are today, but if something needs changed, just like a baby, we need to change the baby. Maybe it's time to make some changes. We have elders that will pray with you. As we sing, as we pray, may you contemplate how you need to change. Let's pray. Father, I pray for us in this room right now. I thank you that it's your Son that we celebrate in Christmas time. This Jesus who is not just famous worldwide over, but we know him here and we know him well. May we get to know him better. But you know us way better than we know you. You know us even better than we know ourselves. So Lord, I don't know what needs changing in people's lives and hearts and minds, but you do and they do. May you give them the courage to change what needs to be changed. May you give hope to someone who is discouraged. May you come alongside of and pour courage into the ones that are a little fearful. May you grant peace to the ones with anxious hearts. And Lord, may you hold up the ones who are weary and not sure if they can go on. We put all of this in your hands, and we thank you for Jesus, our Redeemer, our Restorer and Sustainer. Amen.
If we can pray with you in any way, please come forward. Our elders will come and provide a safe place for you to come and lay some burdens down and receive some prayer. Let's sing this song of the God who is with us. to a lost and broken world this week. God bless you. Have a good week.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those Connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.